So let's stick with that metaphor. What happens to a supernova? Its remnants spread throughout the universe, ultimately giving rise to new planets and stars. So, if it's a supernova, we got that going for us. And streaming services might be among those new or newish formations. Right now, they're starved for nourishment. That's because advertisers won't spend nearly as much for digital properties as they do for analog TV. Some subscription services do earn a profit, Netflix, for instance, but we still don't know if YouTube is paying its way for Google. Peter Kafka is a senior editor at All Things Digital. He says Google sympathizes a little with the producers who say they can't survive on the pittance they earn.
If you're Google, by the way, who owns YouTube, you probably shrug your shoulders and go, sorry, it's not working out for you. We hope you stick around. We'll try to make it work. But you really don't worry that much because they're going to make money regardless.
Do we know for a fact that YouTube is making money for Google? Because Google certainly isn't saying.
They're probably not making nearly as much as they could. But regardless, Google makes a gazillion dollars. They have 12,000 people selling their ads alone. YouTube is one component of that, so they'd like it to work, but it's not an existential problem for them if it doesn't work as well as it could.
Some of the producers end up making about $2.50 for every 1,000 views their clips generate?
When you're all said and done, if you've generated a million views on YouTube and you're effectively getting a $2.50 CPM, that means for every 1,000 views, you'd get $2,500. And ad revenue. And a million views on YouTube is pretty good. And these guys are sort of scratching their heads trying to figure out, how do I create content at a price where I can make money? We need to figure out some other way to do this.
What do you think about the subscription model? YouTube said it would start a subscription service.
Right. One of the things I'm sure they're going to say is, look, this is another way for content creators to make additional money. We never expected anyone to survive solely on advertising. And they'll say, look, if you look at your TV dial, almost everything on there is supported by at least two forms of income. Right. They get money for selling advertising. They also get money through cable subscription fees. I still think overall, there's so many options, so many things you can watch, that it's very hard for any one individual to sort of create an audience big enough to create an equivalent budget that they'd have offline. Does that make sense?
But why does it seem that everyone is assuming that ultimately streaming video will make money? Condé Nast in March just announced it was starting its own video network with original series inspired by Glamour and GQ.
Video comparatively gets much higher ad rates than standard web publishing. The hope is, boy, the rest of our digital business is not doing that well. Maybe this will solve the problem. Plus, if you take a long view, they say, look, web video is just beginning. The analogy everyone likes to use is this is cable TV in the early 80s. No one thought a lot of A&E or USA or AMC. Now these are all big, super valuable properties.
Wait a minute. We seem to be operating on the assumption that they're dying.
Yeah, but they're worth billions of dollars right now. TV networks will come to the advertisers, show off their new shows. And they're all going to ask for an increase in rates. They'll get some degree of that too, by the way. And everyone knows what's happening, but they're still going to keep putting money into TV because everyone likes that system. They think it works better than the alternative for now.
Since doom has been predicted for a number of years and the revenues earned by television continue to rise, are we wrong?
The question is TV different than music and newspapers? Those businesses were ravaged by the digital world, and they basically fell off a cliff. That hasn't happened to TV. TV has gotten stronger. So has it gotten stronger because the moat around it is much deeper?
Meaning that advertisers are so entrenched?
Advertisers are entrenched. There's basically monopolies or duopolies in terms of the way you get this stuff. So is it just a matter of, look, it's just a harder castle to storm, and they'll bring it down eventually? Or do people value video differently than they value music and newspapers and journalism? I think there's a little bit of both. I do think it's harder to substitute crappy video for good video, whereas it turns out that for a lot of news, for instance, most people didn't really care what screen they got it from and what publisher it came from. It's good enough. I think it's hard to swap out Game of Thrones and show you something someone did in their basement and for you to be happy. Interesting question, though, is that if you look at what's popular on YouTube right now, it is stuff being done in kids' basements. And one question I'm always asking people who have 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds is, do your kids distinguish between Game of Thrones and something that Ryan Higa, who's a big YouTube celebrity, made, which is crude and popular? And they said, nope, it's all just stuff. It's all screen time. They value it equally. And if you are an entrenched old media company, that has got to be a terrifying prospect.
But, Peter, isn't that the wrong question you're asking? because 12-year-olds don't stay 12 years old forever. And I would argue that they do make a distinction. They just like that basement stuff now.
Look, the difference, right, is that there is going to be nearly infinite options for these kids. They have them now. They will continue to have them. So if it turns out you liked Ryan Higo, maybe that's what you like. And you don't need to sort of upscale your ambitions and tastes sort of
stuff. No, that's nonsense. I loved Top Cat growing up. That doesn't mean, well, maybe I would check out Top Cat occasionally if it was around, but my tastes have changed since I was 12.
I think that you are forgetting, and I tend to forget, and I think people who listen to this show tend to forget that what we consider valuable and good is probably a pretty small slice of what's popular. I can't imagine a large part of your audience is watching Honey Boo Boo. There's a show called Duck Dynasty. It's the most popular thing on TV right now, more popular than network programming.
But are you suggesting that popular taste now is more debased than it was 20 years ago? That with all of these possibilities, the stuff at the high end is going to suffer?
The question is, will the 12-year-old of today pay some amount of money per month to get something like Game of Thrones 10 or 20 years from now? Or will they be content to watch just whatever slop sort of washes over them from YouTube?
So let me throw the big question at you. There's so much great stuff out there. Is this something that we can continue to see? Or is it, as Bob suggests, a supernova, a big, beautiful explosion before fewer dollars inevitably lead to a descent into the shoddy? What do you think?
Can I hedge?
No.
Look, the economic model that allows Mad Men to exist today is going to go away. It allows a channel like AMC, which has an audience of whatever, gets a subscription fee from all of them, whether or not they're watching it, sells ads, and allows them to spend a bunch of money on a show they've never seen before called Mad Men and put it out there. That's going to go away. Either John McCain is going to legislate it away.
John McCain offered a bill that would force cable to unbundle their offerings. It's not likely to
pass. Probably not going to happen. What's probably going to happen more realistically is eventually consumers are just going to stop paying for this stuff, again, over a long period of time. Look, I think people are still going to value individual bits of content. There's an enormous amount of options there. The audience atomizes, right? So what's valuable to you is not valuable to me. So there's a smaller amount of money to make each individual thing. But if we care enough about it, we'll pay for it.
So you're feeling good.
I'm feeling good. But look at what's on the cable dial hour after hour, day after day. There's a lot of reruns. There's a lot of reality shows. There's a lot of sub-reality shows. There's a lot of infomercials. If you end up replicating that world where there's a handful of really good things online and a bunch of crap, you're replicating TV, and that's not a terrible thing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peter Kafka is a senior editor at All Things Digital, allthingsd.com.
Coming up, streaming music. No one has yet figured out how to stay afloat in that ocean of options.
This is On the Media. The Indisputable.